going to change hats and I'm your speaker. So I just want to read from Psalm 127. It says, starts this, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. So it's all about the Lord, isn't it? The Lord's plans. I'll pray. Father, I just come to you this morning and we come to you and we just pray as we look at your word, we look at your principles, that you will be with us. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us. Amen. How many enjoyed Trevor's message last week? Wasn't it great? How many remember what it was? It was about foundations. It was called, I'll better get this right, what's your datum? How many remember what a datum is? It's a point that basically assists to position things, like it's a plane, it's a level, it's a boundary mark. And so they started off with the little skit that they did, trying to figure out where to place the house in proportion to the datum marks, the boundary pegs. And then Trevor went on to talk about positioning our life, didn't he? How, where you position, where you build. And I want to follow on from that. And because I've been pondering that this week, but I've been pondering it for a long time. And, you know, the Bible talks a lot about houses. It talks a lot about building. It talks a lot about efforts. It talks a lot about our efforts. It talks a lot about faith. And getting it all right and in the right orders, and that can be a bit of a challenge at times. So I was thinking through the week and, you know, one of the things that when we have visiting speakers and that, sometimes they'll say, hey, what's your themes at church? What kind of teaching series are you doing? And this year, strong foundations is actually our theme. So when speakers ask this question, I'll say it's strong foundations. So it's very foundational. It's real, just basic, really good foundational stuff. And we're also popping in where we can some character studies because I just think that's fantastic, and it's just great to look at lives from throughout the Bible and look at what we can learn from those lives, what they did that wasn't so great, what they did that was amazing, what we can learn, and especially the life of Jesus. So I was thinking, what kind of character study can we do? And I thought, well, I've got a real interesting one. So there's this Mother Pig, and she has three little piglets living with her, and she's very poor. This is not from the Bible, obviously. And so she sends them out into the world because she can't basically feed them anymore, and they wander along, and they're wandering along, and they come. One of them comes to a man selling straw. And he says, please, sir, can I have some straw to build my house? You know the story. First one builds his house out of straw. The second one builds his house out of sticks. And the third one builds his house out of bricks. And then a wolf visits each of them, and you know the story. Depending on what version, because some versions that I read this week, The pigs just run away. They don't get eaten by the wolf. So the straw one gets obviously eaten or runs away to the one with the brick house. The wooden sticks one gets eaten or runs away. You can change it in your mind depending on how you feel about all this stuff. And through to the point where the wolf gets to the brick house and after he huffs and puffs and he can't blow the house down. And why is that? Because it's built from solid materials, bricks. You're right. And so he decides, well, I've huffed and I've puffed myself out of breath. So I'm going to climb onto the roof and go down the chimney, and then I'm going to have dinner. Now, we know that he goes down the chimney and that's the end of the wolf. Now, some versions say that he burnt his tail and ran off, and that was the end of the wolf. He ran off with a burnt tail. Others say that the pig pulled the pot, the top of the pot off, and he fell in and they ate him. Again, totally, you know, over to how you want to end it in your mind. But I was thinking about, what does that mean? What were they thinking when they wrote that story? And when you look at it, it's actually a story of people who chose to settle in ways that were easier than others. So the one with straw, it was so easy to build a straw house compared to the hard labour of laying bricks and that. Ask any blocky, you know, they've generally got bad back because it's hard, hard work. But when the storms come along, buildings that are built out of blocks and bricks and that, Christchurch isn't a great example, but generally speaking, they do fare much, much better. So thinking back to Trevor's message from last week, where we build a building is crucial. Where we choose to site the building is hugely important. I saw a house being built Foxton Beach last year. It was just a transportable, but with all the earthquakes that have gone on and that, I mean, previously they probably just would have dug little sort of, you know, piles just sort of 400 or maybe 600 or 800 into the ground or something. But last year I noticed there was a truck turns up, and it's one of these big pile driver trucks, and it rammed posts, and it was so loud that I was about 100 metres away and you could feel the earth moving. It was ramming these things down so far into the ground, probably 10 metres or something down into the ground, because they wanted to make sure that they were in a solid foundation. It's interesting what I'm seeing, you know, Christchurch, Kaikoura, earthquakes in Japan, and that how it changes. You know, we suddenly realise, ooh, we need to take some care. We need to be careful in the way we do this. So where we build is hugely important. What we put it on is hugely important. Jesus read, didn't he? He said in Matthew 7, he says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The rock is obviously Jesus. So where we build is crucial. And what we build on is crucial. And I want to move on from there and talk about some of the materials, or look at some of the things that Jesus said around materials. So what kind of things do you think are good to take into account when we're building a house? Can you think of any? There's some other things. Choose the right builder. So if you want to site the house well, you choose Jared. Trevor was a bit lax on it, but we know in real life he's a master builder. And he told a story which illustrated it great, that they actually deconstructed a house and reconstructed it to put it in the right place because some of the subcontractors had got that point wrong. What else? Make sure it receives the sun. Sorry?
Make sure it receives the sun.
Oh, and the S-O-N. That's great. You got me. I was S-U-N for a second. Yeah. It's S-U-N and S-O-N, isn't it? Yeah. What else?
Durable materials.
The materials, yeah, should be durable. They should last. Weather's tight, yeah. So when the storms come, are we going to be safe? Is it going to hold? Anything else?
Good foundations.
Good foundations. Yeah, so that's great. Matthew 21 says, and he said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. I've thought about this a lot. I thought about the tension that we have in, or not the tension, but the balance, it is tension. Tension between striking the balance of a church that loves its world and is socially responsive and cares about feeding people and clothing people and helping people, and a church that spends time praying enough and teaching enough and discipling people enough in that, because they're two actual, when you think about it, they're actually two tensions, aren't they? One is get out there and do stuff, and the other one is stay and work on the foundation kind of stuff. So it's something that I think about constantly as a pastor, and I think about how do we strike the balance right? How do we get the balance right so as a church, but also as individuals, we're doing the right stuff in our lives? And I don't know that there's ever a perfect mix. I don't know if we ever... I think there's times where we say, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm pretty happy today. But tomorrow I'll probably think, I might be a little bit too much this way or that way. So we're constantly reassessing and looking at what we need to be doing going forward, aren't we? And this message is a really broad one because it applies to, obviously, that scripture there is very applicable. Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer. But then the church has become us rather than kind of a building. So when he's talking now, you could also say, when he's talking about my house will be a house of prayer, we are the house of prayer, aren't we? So we could talk about this physical building, which should be a house of prayer. Prayer meetings do happen. One will happen this week in the Remu room. You're all invited again to come along to it and to pray. But also we are to pray, and we are to pray for people around us, family. We're to pray for stuff that's happening and just constantly be listening and talking to God. And it's not just two time zones that we step into. It's not just 20 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes in the morning or 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes at night. I think prayer should be a whole lifestyle where we have big pockets of time that we commit to it, but we continue to pray throughout the day. And I constantly just pray throughout the day. I just link it to my thoughts. I'll be thinking about someone. I'll just say, Lord, just be with them, you know? And that's my prayer to him. So I'm just having this ongoing conversation with God, just like I used to with my natural father. You know, I didn't always just go and have these big intense sit downs with them, though we did have intense sit downs as well where we would talk about important stuff and that, but we just chatted on the way through. We'd just talk, and you know, you feel like a drink, yeah, I'd love a drink. You never had to really ask that with my dad because the jug was always on. It was on 24/7. I could roll up at home any day of the week and the jug was on. It was on 24/7, like practically, literally. But it was part of that conversation, wasn't it? The jug was always on and the conversation was always ready to flow. And they worked hand in hand. And it's the same with God. We are able to walk with God and talk with God constantly. We're thinking, we're lifting stuff up. We're thinking about someone in hospital and we're just lifting them up. You know, and we're just traveling with that, aren't we? So my house will be called a house of prayer. James 2 says, oh, it up because I've just found the way I've got the stand is just a little bit shadowy. I'm suffering from black shadows. James 2 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister without clothes, these notes have been naughty, without clothes and daily, suppose a brother or a sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? So what Jesus is saying is, you know, it's good to have faith, but faith has to have an outpouring. So my house will be called a house of prayer, and we come and pray is crucial. But we need an outpouring. We need an outworking of that faith. So we need to be active. We can't just keep it bottled up and have the happy smiley club in here, but we don't take it out anywhere. And I know with our church is a very active church. I know we're all involved and doing stuff around. So I pray for that to continue. So that's super exciting. And that's what God wants, isn't it? Because we're to be a house of faith and food, aren't we? A house where we live out faith, but we feed. We feed here, we teach the word, and that's one thing we don't compromise. We don't, you know, we teach biblical standards. We love the Bible. We're a Bible that a church that's built on biblical standards, and we love His word, and we will not go away from that. So faith and food, we're feeding people. We're also feeding people physically out in the community. We're a place of hope and help. Hope and help. We're a lighthouse and we're a love house. So we're a light to others and we're loving them. We love God, we love others. Isn't that cool? You know, I just feel so humbled at times that God allows us this mission that He gives us to be able to love on His people. He considers us His ambassadors, and He allows us to go out, even though we are far from perfect, go out and love others and be called His ambassadors. His ambassadors. We are ambassadors for the Most High God. The Most High God. Have you thought about that? The Creator of the universe has asked us to open an office in our locality, set up shop, and be His ambassadors. That's pretty cool, eh? Isn't that amazing? We have that privilege, and it is a privilege. It's a huge privilege. A privilege to what? How about we watch this clip? Marco, that'd be great. Thanks, buddy.
Shalom. Me? Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. soul?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
For you to walk, like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
Luke 4 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You'll recall that from a couple of weeks back when Kristen was here, he spoke, preached out of that scripture. And that is the invitation to us as people of his house, is to continue the work that we just saw behind us, of stepping in, being Jesus in the streets, being his hands and feet, and assisting people to be free and turn to God. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that great? I'm going to pray. Father, we love you. We love the fact that you have plans for us. And you have plans for this world and everyone in it. We pray you continue to make us effective. Continue to work out your plans and we follow. Be with us this week. Help us to be effective, to take you into the world, share you around. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll talk about this more as the year goes on, obviously. But as I always say, take God out from here. Don't keep him a secret. Share him around. Who can you pray for this week? Who can you pray for? I was in a cafe the other day and a person came up and put their hand on my shoulder and said, will you come and pray for my brother? He's got some issues and will you come and pray for him? So that's my thing for this week. I'm going to spend some time talking and praying for them. So that's going to be exciting. People who don't know Jesus are going to get prayed for at their request. So that's cool, isn't it? So let's always be praying for our opportunities and then taking our opportunities and taking them with both hands. Have a great week.